Oh my god, it's gonna be like the fastest and most frantic PDP ever. I'm sorry.
It's been a while. This is an international PDP.
Already breathing hard. I had to run up the stairs from going to the bathroom. Yeah, it's an international PDP. We get so few of these, you know, but we're making it happen.
Yeah, sorry, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Tyler's been in Canada.
I have. I still am.
You're still in Canada. I have been there and back from Arizona and Wyoming and all different kinds of places. We have basically been not able to nail each other down.
Ow.
For about 3 weeks now.
Yeah, pretty much. Which, you know, I've had droughts that lasted way longer. So here we are. Hello. Here we are, man. It's just past 1:05 in the afternoon in Thunder Bay, Ontario, where I am doing the broadcast for the WBSC U18 Baseball World Cup. And first off, I just want to extend a huge thanks to all of you guys who have tuned into these broadcasts. And I know that we've owed you a PDP for like 3 weeks, and I'm so sorry that it's been this long, but like Anthony said, we've just been kind of all over the place. But a big thanks to everybody for tuning in. And hey, now you'll get your free podcast, you mongrels. Calm down.
Jeez, golly, people.
Gracious. So yeah, man, it's been what's the word? Bad for the Colorado Rockies of baseball.
Hey, I mean, yes. There's no way around it. It has not been a good stretch for the Colorado Rockies. And yet, they still have a two-game lead in the wild card.
How in God's name?
Nobody in the damn National League wants to make the playoffs besides the D-backs, the Dodgers, and the Nationals.
This is just a hot potato game of everybody trying to take that second wild card spot. Like, I don't want it. You take it.
Yeah,
I don't want it.
Here, hold my beer, you know, kind of thing. But the Rockies have been in a playoff spot every single day of this season.
That is insane. You tweeted that out the other day.
The only team to do that this year is the Colorado Rockies.
That is nuts. That is nuts.
Yes.
And they're still there.
They're still there with some cushion.
Despite their best efforts, they're still there. Yeah. And yeah, man, I mean, that is, I guess, the overriding thing that you want to take to heart is – they're still in that spot. They haven't lost all ground. Don't lose all faith. But at the same time, they open up the biggest road trip of the season, not playing very good ball, and that's what worries you.
Yes, and this basically is the road trip that I have had circled on my calendar pretty much since the end of May. And even then, like, I will tell people this, and I can corroborate it from my bachelor party. I was telling people in early June that the Rockies – had a phenomenal chance to make the playoffs because everybody else in the National League was garbage. Now, even then, I didn't think that the Brewers would stick around as long as they have, and they have. This one, the Rockies had about a 7-8 game lead. Even then, and I was like, who is going to overtake them? The Cardinals didn't seem like they were going to be anywhere near relevancy this year, and they've kind of been brought back up, I guess, over the last couple of weeks.
They just acquired old friend Juan Nicasio last night, didn't they?
Yes, they did, in fact.
Juan Nicasio will come back to haunt us all.
Yeah, more than likely. That's usually how it ends up working.
By the way, I'm going to go ahead and apologize just right out of the gate. I don't know if my mic is picking up all this background. They're doing work on the infield right now, so that smacking that you may have heard, that's the tamp on the batter's boxes at home plate. So apologies. You can deal with it. It's a free podcast, you mongrels. Okay, continue.
Okay. And the Brewers are still sticking around, kind of. They were just swept by the Reds, so that's probably not great. But I kept saying that it was going to come down to the Rockies and who else. Nobody knew, but I knew that this road trip was going to be one of the most important, you know, it could be one of the most important in franchise history. It's a team that has not been back to the playoffs in 8 years. They've been in a playoff spot the entire season, and now they have to go face the two teams that are ahead of them in the NL West on the road, a place where they have been absolutely dreadful over the last couple of months. For a team that started out 24-10 on the road, they are 9-24 on the road since then. That is why they are 33-34 away from Coors Field.
Which, in any other year, you would think, okay, they're treading water. That's fine. To do that at home is fine. And historically, that's the way it's been for the Rockies. But this year, this team is so weird. And the thing that really stands out is just the tenor of this road trip has changed. When we first started talking about this road trip, I think Anthony mentioned this road trip on a podcast back in like June, that this was going to be the season-defining road trip. What we thought at that time was it could very well be the thing that decides whether or not this team can win a division title. That is way out the window.
That's gone, yes.
Now it's, can you tread water enough to stay in the spot where you are in a playoff race? If they go on the road and they go 2-6 or 1-7, or God forbid they go on the road and have one of those road trips, you know, like they've been known to have, and go 0-8, then not great, Bob.
Honestly, and the starting pitchers they're going to be facing in that time: Kershaw, Darvish, Wood, Hill, Greinke, Walker, Corbin, Godley.
Those are good. Those are good.
But hey,
those are good.
At least they
miss
Robbie Ray.
Yeah, that's something, I guess.
Hooray.
Yeah, glad that Clayton Kershaw could be back for this. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, the Rockies have only had one winning season on the road in their entire history, and it was 2009. They went 41-40.
What happened in 2009? What did they
That was the last time they, in fact, made the playoffs.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Their two best seasons on the road in their history, 41-40 in 2009 and 39-42 in 2007. Shocking. Those 2 years, they went to the playoffs.
What did that 95 team do on the road?
They were 33-39.
Okay, so still not great at all, but yet for a Rockies team, you know, that's probably, I mean, like the fifth best record in franchise history on the road?
It was, in fact, the fifth best. Technically, right now, the Rockies have the second best winning percentage they've ever had on the road, and they've been 9-24 on the road since mid-June.
Oh, boy. Well, this is a kind of a weird episode in that I'm going to admit that I have obviously been off of the Rockies' radar for the last 10 days or so with this tournament.
Let me tell you what you missed.
So, yeah, what if I am somebody who just woke up after a two-week coma, what have I missed?
The Rockies like scoring 3 runs.
Okay. So less than half of Taco apostrophe S.
Yes. They just finished off a 3-6 homestand against two teams that are trying to lose, although the Tigers weren't trying to lose as much while they were in Denver. They still had Justin Upton, still had Justin Verlander, who pitched that finale against the Rockies.
Not
and
a
they
great
traded
week for job
day.
Security. If your name was Justin, you were part of the Tigers.
New, and that's, I mean, saying Justin Wilson, who was traded the previous month.
Oh, yeah. So, man, they're anti-Justin all over the place there.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can be into it. That's fine.
They actually did win a series, the most recent series. They did take 2 of 3 from the San Francisco Giants, who were eliminated from the playoff contention last night. So even with
last night, it was just last night. That's actually surprising. They were eliminated from the division like a month ago.
Yes.
Yeah. but odd years.
They did win 2 of those 3 games, so that's good. They're coming off a series victory, but as we mentioned, they are coming into the road trip from hell coming up here. And the Rockies have already had one of those this year, road trip from hell.
Yeah, that's what really worries you.
LA, San Francisco, and Arizona, and went 1-8.
Yeah, like that's the one that you sort of get worried about because you can't do that again. Can't do that again.
I mean, they very well could.
And they could still make the playoffs, possibly, since everybody else has been bad, too.
They could well do that. It is the damnedest thing. This season is so bizarre and so unlike any season the Rockies have ever had.
Yeah.
Because of the way it started and the way that it kind of continued. There have been traits that we can pick up from every other Rockies season, but they all don't seem to be meshing with the general narrative besides the fact that they can't win on the road.
And the problem continues to be that they can't score runs, and that is what is so mind-boggling
it literally
about this
bottles
season.
The mind.
It bottles them. It puts the mind into a literal bottle. Not even a figurative bottle. It's actual bottles full of minds.
I mean, you look at this team, what they have done since August 6th, since they blew that game, the finale against the Phillies on Coors Field. That was August 6th.
Also since not a then, good team.
No. Since then, the team is 10-18. They're averaging just over 4 runs a game, and really only been that's helped by the fact they scored 17 in that one
game. Right, in that one game against the Braves. Yeah, great.
I mean, they have scored 3 runs or less in 1, 2,
You're counting. I'm writing out lineup cards.
18. They have scored three runs or less in 18 of their last 28 games.
Oh, God. And yet.
They've scored less than five runs in 22 of those games.
And yet, when you listen to literally every broadcast team that comes in with an opponent, they start every game up 6-0 because they play at Coors Field. So that seems weird.
No, this team has basically had two guys hitting all season long, Charlie Blackmon and Nolan Arenado. Charlie Blackmon, at the end of the year, he is going to be having one of the most historic seasons in baseball history. He could legitimately finish with 140 runs scored, 30 doubles, 15 triples, 40 homers, 100 ribbies, and 15 steals while hitting 340.
He would be the first National League leadoff man ever to drive in 100 runs.
I mean, he's getting pretty close.
That's ridiculous. And to have that guy and to have Nolan Arenado in your lineup and to basically just be just running out bats made of, you know, pool noodles for the other six spots every day is a little bit more than frustrating. It's one thing if this was a San Diego Padres team and this was how they were falling apart, man, they just can't score the runs. Then you would sort of feel like, yeah, maybe that was bound to happen.
Like, oh, they can't get Eric Stoltz any more run support, you know?
But this is the Colorado Rockies. This is a team that does nothing but score runs throughout franchise history, and they can't score runs.
Nope. Because they've had, you know, Trevor Story struggling all season long. Carlos Gonzalez struggling all season. Mark Reynolds has turned into Mark Reynolds for the most part in the second
half. That's been a big downer of a second half, too.
Ian Desmond's missed a lot of time, and when he's been in, he has not been productive at all. So, you know, Luke Roy has been fine since coming over. You know, he's been as expected. Pat Neshek, the other guy they got in the trade deadline, has been pretty good. Beyond that, they're not getting a lot of production from a lot of other spots in the order. Walters, he has fallen off completely. He's won for his last 30. Alexi Amarisa is still
not
on this
having a good
roster
season to begin with. Yeah, Amarisa is still hanging around for some reason. They did finally make some juggle movements in the lineup, and you thought, all right, maybe that'll shake things up. And they did have the one tacos game against the Giants, and you started to feel good about things. Then they go out and they just lay an egg in the finale, and it's like if you can't sustain offensive momentum. The team that we saw in April and May and into the beginning parts of June, talk about Jekyll and Hyde. This team doesn't look anything like that team right now.
I mean, this would be one of the more devastating seasons in Rockies history if the goal goes south here in the next 8 days, because, you know, you saw that this team maybe doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs considering how they've played the last few months. But at the same time, nobody else does either. So why not us?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is you can at least take heart in how bad everybody else has been too.
Yeah.
It's just so maddening, because then you look at it and you think, no, everybody else has been so bad, this shouldn't even be this close. Like, they've all played so poorly, the Rockies should have an 8-game lead on that second wild card spot, which they did for so long, and that's just been chipped away. I mean, to be fair, everybody has sucked lately. The Dodgers had a division lead that was up to like 22 games, and they've lost, I think, 9.5 games on that over the last 11 days as of last night.
They've lost 11 of their last 12.
Good Lord. I mean, it looked like that team was never going to lose again.
Their lead's down to 10.5. I know it's down to 10.5. That's
right.
But like,
which
their lead's down
ridiculous
to 10.5. Like, okay, if the Rockies end up don't making the playoffs and the Dodgers end up blowing the division lead, that's almost worth it. Almost. I didn't say it was.
Yeah, that probably would be.
That would be absolutely hysterical.
Our good buddy Matt Hansen put together, I didn't know that there was a meme now with Vince McMahon, but there's, you know, there was the Galaxy Brain meme for a while. Now there's a Vince McMahon meme in which in the last one, like, his head is exploding because he's thought of something so mind-blowing. And in Matt's case, it was in the last panel, it was Dodgers lose the division, Rockies beat Dodgers in wild card game. And man, I'd be down. I'd be down with that.
I mean,
I don't think it'll happen, but, you know.
It's so damn funny. I mean, I gotta see, how were they, ever even up like 20 games in that division?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
August 26th. Ooh, I wonder if they were. I'm just going through stuff here. This is fun. Yes, on August 25th, they were 91-36. They had a 21-game lead in the division.
21-game lead in August, in mid-August.
Which is down to 10.5 now.
That is preposterous.
Because the D-backs have won 13 in a row.
And, I mean, it would take a historic collapse to blow a 10.5-game lead with 3 weeks and change to play.
It'd be more so to blow a 21-game lead right. with 5 weeks to play.
But I'm just saying, like, that alone would take a historic collapse. And then you look back at the fact they were up 21 games in August, and it's like, what on earth?
Late
and it's
August, so weird. August 25th.
Yeah, and it's so weird because, like, for the entirety of this season, it looked like the National League was just far and away the class of Major League Baseball this year. And now the Indians have come on. The Red Sox have come on. You've got these teams. The Astros trade for Justin Verlander. You've got these teams that look on the AL like not only are they playing well, but they're loaded up for the postseason. And you look at the National League, and it's like Bryce Harper's been hurt. Clayton Kershaw's been hurt, and the Dodgers are vomiting all over themselves. The D-backs are the only good story right now in the National League. The Cubs have obviously taken over that division, which we knew they were going to eventually. It's like the D-backs
they're not that far up, to be honest.
the Cubs, yeah, which is so crazy because they've been in the lead now since middle of July, I think.
They're 4 games up.
But they're only
it.
4 games up. Like, they haven't played dominant ball either. It's not like Cleveland, who has started to run away with that thing.
Yeah, the Indians look terrifying, right? They've won 14
straight. Yeah, when you
straight.
Win 14 in a row and you become the first team since the 1930s to have 14-game winning streaks in back-to-back years, you're doing something right.
Yeah. So they look terrifying. Their pitching's allowed, you know, like 8 runs this entire streak. Like, they've already actually passed the Dodgers in terms of run differential. And,
good Lord.
And the Dodgers were 100, plus 100 of anybody else in the league for pretty much the entire season. The Indians now with the best run differential in all of baseball. They've already passed them now because of this 14-game winning streak.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So, and the Rockies took 3-4 from the Indians this year. So,
should I even ask what the Rockies' run differential is these days? Because
it's only plus 32.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we know right? that they are the darlings of the run differential community, as we were told early on this year, or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me pose you this question.
Sure.
To fix this offense, what in God's name can Bud Black do? Like, what on earth? Like, do you bring a literal cattle prod into the clubhouse one day and threaten people with it? Like, what options are you left with at this stage?
I mean, there's no reason why you shouldn't give Raimel Tapia some chances.
Yep.
Ryan McMahon some chances.
Yep.
Like, I'm sorry. You're paying Ian Desmond a lot of money. You're paying Carlos Gonzalez a lot of money. And, you know, for what it's worth, Cargo looks like he is heating up a little bit. He's, you know,
Cargo's heating up.
He got moved to the third spot in the batting order last night. In that Giant series, he looks more like the Cargo we've grown to love. I mean, he went 4-for-6 with 3 doubles, knocked in 3, also walked 3 times in that Giant series, which is a very good sign for him. He didn't strike out once in that Giant series, which is
that's
saying
one of the
a lot
very
more.
Underrated things about a guy who, you know, when you're not joking about it, about a guy who literally is getting it going, starting to get hot, is when guys take walks, that does translate into really big things. So it doesn't necessarily have the same sex appeal as a guy who goes, you know, 10-for-16 over the course of a few games. But if you're taking walks, it means you're seeing the ball well. It means you're being patient. Like, that really can key into getting a guy going.
Cargo has his most walks in a season since 2012 right now.
Wow. What is he currently slashing?
I don't know. I'm not sure what, but it's saying something. They moved into the third spot last night in the order, and it seemed to kind of work. I don't know. He seemed to take better at bats. No one came up with players on. He didn't do anything with it, unfortunately. But in my opinion, something has to change. I'm sick and tired of seeing Charlie Blackmon hitting solo home runs. He's got the second most solo home runs in baseball this year. I know he's a leadoff hitter, so inherently he'll have more opportunities to come up with nobody on base. But if he's hitting as well as he is right now, which he is, there's no reason why you wouldn't want a guy like DJ LeMahieu leading off. A contact guy, can put the ball on the ground, can run a little bit, and get on base and have somebody on base for Charlie Blackmon. DJ's hit into a ton of double plays this year because of that, because Charlie's getting on base so often. DJ's got a career high in double plays right now he's hit into. Then if you can, I know if you don't want to do the right-left, then fine. Do DJ, Charlie, Nolan, Cargo, and then go from there. If you want to do Reynolds, then you know, Desmond, who the hell ever, Luke Roy, I don't, it doesn't matter
just
at that point. They're not going to get it. Just do something.
Yeah.
At the top of the order, give Charlie Blackman, one of your better hitters who's still hitting when nobody else is, a chance to come up with people on base. It's not a far-fetched scenario. You have guys who can plug into the other spots that would seem to fit better in the other spots in the order. There's no reason you wouldn't want to try it right now, because right now you're entering a scenario where you need to go at least 3-5 on this road trip. And I think 3-5 would
at least
be nice. Like, I think if you can come out of this road trip within a game of the wild card, let's just say, if you don't still have the actual wild card lead stuff, still within a game after this 8-game road trip, then you can start to say, okay, now we can start playing for the last 2 weeks, because this road trip's been weighing on my mind for a long time. So I'm sure the guys in the clubhouse know this road trip was coming up too. Because after this, the next three series they have are the Padres, Giants, and the Padres. So
bad teams.
And then the Marlins, who were playing like absolute garbage coming into Denver. And then obviously the
Dodgers.
And
that team was coming on for so long too. Like, that team you thought was going to be a factor.
And they've lost 10 or 11 of their last 12 as well. They've been like the Dodgers. And then the final series of the season, the Dodgers at Coors Field. You know, but the Dodgers, in theory, unless they literally lose out, will be already wrapped up the division. They will be resting a lot of guys, doing whatever the hell they want. So this is the time for the Colorado Rockies. This is the time for them to show that they can actually be a viable playoff team. And honestly, this is the time for Bud Black to prove that he is, in fact, a playoff manager. Bud Black is very well respected in the game.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of great things. Bud Black has never made the postseason in his entire career.
Yep, that is a very good point. I'm gonna draw a comparison here to a different sport. In cycling, you get to these stages. Let's take the Tour de France, for example. You get to these stages where everybody's beaten down. Everybody's exhausted. It's a climb. It's whatever it is. You're going through the Alps. Everybody
the
feels like they're going to die.
Yeah.
The mountain stages. And the only way that anybody wins those stages is when they decide to break and go for it. And you're exhausted. You feel like you're on the verge of death. But when you break from the peloton, everybody has to chase you down. And if they can't, then you're in that spot to get that win. For the Rockies right now, you're in this peloton of mediocre to terrible baseball teams that include the Cardinals and the Brewers and yourselves and these other sort of hangers-on like the Marlins and the Pirates and whoever else. You've got to make your break. At some point, you have to realize over these next 3 weeks, somebody is going to separate themselves, and there needs to be a sense of urgency. And not to say that there isn't, because those guys are professional athletes. They know what's at stake. Last night on Sportsnet up here in Canada, they had a feature. One
Jay
of those,
and Dan. You're going
to yeah,
see Jay
I've got,
and Dan.
I've
so,
gotten to
I'm
watch
so
Jay
jealous.
And Dan so much, which has been fantastic. I love them. They had an MLB feature, which is kind of a This Week in Baseball sort of program. And the final segment of it was a feature on the Rockies. And it was just a little featurette about playing better ball. It's an interview with Nolan. Oh, we've been pitching this year. We're playing meaningful baseball late in the season, which we don't always do, yada, yada. So these guys know. I mean, these guys are very much in the frame of mind that this is something we can't let slip away, because they've all been through it. They've all been through how difficult it is to get to this spot in the first place. But at the same time, I know you're tired. I know your legs are aching. I know you can't breathe. But you got to make that break. Because if you don't make that break, the Brewers are going to make it. Or the Cardinals are going to make it.
God
or somebody
forbid.
Else is going to hunt you down.
Yeah.
And that's where you're going to sit. And you're going to look back at the time when you were 20-plus games over 500 in 2017. And in November, you're going to go, what the hell happened to this team?
I mean, Bud Black's Padres were known for underachieving, mediocrity, and two very, very high-profile late-season collapses in 2007 and 2010. I believe they lost both of those playoff spots on the last day of the season, obviously to the Rockies in 2007 and to the Giants in 2010. I believe they won 90 games that year and lost it on the last day of the regular season to the eventual world champion. So, you know, Bud Black's, he's got a lot of people, a lot of believers in that clubhouse and in Denver in that front office as well, but you know, he's got to prove something too.
Right. And, you know, I still feel like he's the right guy for the job. I think he was hamstrung by some things in San Diego. But I totally agree that it's put up or shut up time. It's no longer a case of he's fun, he's great with the media, yada, yada. You have to be able to put your stamp in the rough periods just like you did in the good periods. And This is rough, man. 6-game losing streak for the Dodgers right now. The Rockies have gained basically no ground, or at least effectively no ground. And the D-backs have pulled away. The D-backs are 7.5 up on the Rockies now. So you're not catching. Now you're looking at best right now. Best case scenario looks like that wild card game at the Bob, which I refuse to call.
You want to survive. Just want to survive to this.
You want to make it to the Bob, and that team has won 13 straight. And the D-backs have a +141 run differential, which is the third best in the National League. And they're really, for all intents and purposes, they're the third best team in the National League. And they're playing like the best team right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've even said all year in our meetings at FS1, said on here, I think the D-backs are as dangerous as any team in the National League, especially
in a short series.
I think they've got the best pitching in terms of depth they can draw from, especially starting pitching. I would put them against anybody in the National League. Obviously, they've got the Dodgers at a good time. Even though they might have caused that good time, quote unquote, for the Dodgers. But I think they're as dangerous as any team in the National League. And it sucks for the Rockies right now because it's a weird trip, because I think Proporo had this on Twitter last night. They're going to face a Dodgers team who is due for a win or two.
Right.
And facing a D-backs team who's due for a loss or two. So, you know, on top of
which is fine. That's fine if they can do that.
On top of everything else going on with this road trip, you know, you're going to start to see some of the regression and progression start to come up, I would imagine. And the Rockies have got to figure out some ways to score runs on the road. That's basically what it comes down to.
The D-backs aren't going to be sloughing off anytime soon, because this weekend they get the Padres for 3, then the Rockies for 4. Then it's basically the same exact schedule as the Rockies going forward. Giants, Padres, Marlins, Giants. Then they actually go to the Royals to finish off the regular season, which is weird. But weak teams for the rest of the season for that D-backs team. And, you know, for the Rockies, we were so hyped on, oh man, July and August, they don't play that tough of a schedule. And they have bottomed out against poor opponents for the last 2 months. And that doesn't give you a lot of confidence.
As good as
you felt in May and June, not good right now.
Now, those road games since August 1st, they're averaging just over 3 runs a game.
Oh, man. That's all the bad news. The good news, like we said, they're still in the lead where they need to be in the lead.
Yes.
And that's what matters right now. They still control their own destiny. And in baseball, every day is a new day. You come out today, you start this road trip off on the right foot, and then who knows what happens from here on out. It's not going to be easy, but at least you know that you control it. You are not right now the Pirates or the Brewers or anybody else looking up at other teams thinking, okay, we got to leapfrog this team and we need some help to leapfrog that team to get in the second wild card spot.
80% of the American League right now.
Right, exactly. And just be thankful you're not the San Francisco Giants this year, who are 55-87 and 38.5 games back in the division.
Suck on that.
Or the Philadelphia Phillies, who are somehow almost worse. Phillies actually have a worse winning percentage. They are 53-86. My God, that is bad. It's, you know, this is it. We pointed to this for weeks and weeks and weeks, that this was going to be make or break. They go out, they go 3-5, or they somehow go 4-4, or they somehow turn in a winning road trip, and then you feel pretty damn good coming home.
Yep.
They have to be able to guard against that 2-6, 1-7 type of trip. And in those pitching matchups, it is not going to be easy.
Nope, it will not be.
So
you got John Gray on the hill tonight.
That gives you faith. And Germán Márquez gives you some faith. But the matchups that they draw are extremely difficult. You know, the good news is they're catching a Dodgers team that is playing poorly. But, you know, when you're the Dodgers, you kind of look at the Rockies coming to town. You remember that series from earlier in the year where Adam Ottavino throws 4 wild pitches in 1 inning, and you think, we can feast on this team. So you have to make sure that you are not those guys this weekend. You have to make sure that you're not the traditional Rockies in Los Angeles.
Right.
And not easy to do. But
and you got Kershaw tonight.
Right. Yeah.
So
good luck.
Have fun.
Hope it goes well.
Hope John Gray delays the game by 45 seconds.
And then freaks out Clayton Kershaw and gets into his head. That's some pretty good gamesmanship. They should just do that intentionally every time Kershaw pitches anyway.
Why not?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it.
This Dodgers team knows that they are up against it when it comes to the postseason. They know that they've choked every single year they've been in the playoffs.
Yep.
Dodgers fans are starting to freak out too. I mean, the dumb ones, of course, but whatever. Like, it's still Dodgers fans starting to freak out about this team because
right.
they've seen this game before. Like, right. oh, the Dodgers, the greatest team of ever. They went 43-7 in a 50-game stretch.
Right.
Yeah, back 4 years ago, they went 42-8. So, and what happened there?
Yep.
You know, and then what happened?
You know, Oral Hershiser put this really well last night. They had the Dodgers coverage on one of the Sportsnet channels out here. And Hershiser said, if this team goes into the playoffs and they get bounced early, if they play like they're playing right now, they go into the playoffs and they lose a series, not only is this regular season going to be a footnote, it's going to be an anchor to what happened in 2017. And you're going to look back at the end of the year and not even remember the regular season and how good things were because it just turned into the same narrative in the playoffs.
Right.
The Dodgers, I mean, if the Dodgers ended this season at 92-70, if they lost the next 23 games, but they made it to the World Series, they'd much rather take that.
No, nobody would. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
That's all that matters to them at this point, as it should.
Which is exactly as it should. And,
but I mean, if you don't, this is the 93 Bills losing 30-13 to the Cowboys in their fourth Super Bowl. You know?
Right. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, it's nobody cares about regular season wins, man. Nobody cares if you broke 100 wins. Nobody cares if you get to 110 wins. When you make it to October, if you flop again, congratulations, you're the 2001 Seattle Mariners.
And the Rockies got to figure out how to win in Dodger Stadium, too.
Yeah.
They have lost 25 of their last 31 games. They're dating back to mid-June.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
6-25 since June 16, 2014.
They also lost their home winning streak against the Giants last night, too, which was a bunch of games.
But also, they went 9-1 against the Giants at home, which is just like the most perfect Coors thing ever, which is just awesome. So
said Coors. Oh, man. Gonna be interesting. Well, I got 20 minutes the first pitch of another baseball game, so our apologies for an abbreviated PDP, but we know that we have owed you one for quite some time, so we're gonna skip out of here a little bit early today. Next week we're back on track. I'll be in New York meeting my new nephew, but next week we'll be back on track with a normal episode, and hopefully we'll have some good baseball and some good storylines to talk about.
And then the next week we'll have to do one probably live together in Arizona. Since
be fantastic.
That's my wedding week, and I'll be there on the Wednesday before, and you'll be there on the Thursday.
I'm basically going to be out of town for the entirety of the month of September. I hope my dog recognizes me when I get back.
But it did last time.
Yeah, that's true.
It ran out. It was like,
look at you. You're home. It's great. All right. Be good.
Well, go Rockies.
Talk to you next week. Hope the Rockies win.
Hope the Rockies win.
Talk to you next week. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Oh, hey, stranger.
Hey, Buckaroo.
Hey.
My name's not Buckaroo. I got another game starting in an hour, so we got to roll.
Cool, let's do it.
All right, 3, 2, 1.